Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Brought to you by our fantastic friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Big shout out and good morning to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. You got your host, James J, here behind the mic at 10:04. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Randy Paul.
Hey, speaking of shout outs, good morning, everyone. I got to give a shout out to my cousins. I've got a cousin that lives in Colorado Springs with his wife, and his sister and her family are out in Colorado Springs, and they said they'd be listening to our show this morning.
So awesome.
Welcome, Cousin Scott and Cousin Lori and families.
Good morning to you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And thanks to the listening to the best listeners out there, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is your show. Call up at 424-2600. Randy and I are talking baseball. You want to talk football, call up and change the subject. It's up to you. We are going to get some local coverage from Randy in just a little bit. Looking forward to that. We'll talk River Kings hockey. We'll talk some Marquette men's team. Got to talk about them. Looking forward to all of that. I want to get into all those things, of course, with you. And looking forward to the local coverage that Randy has for you. But you all, I mean, you guys know me pretty well by now. I've been doing this job, working in this area for a long time, been in radio for quite some time. I think you all understand where I'm going to start the show with the number one pick in the NFL draft being traded. And I'm just going to play a little Jeffersons here for my fellow Chicago Bear fans, because we don't have a lot of moments like this, everybody. This is like, let us have this. Let us have a little bit of hope, a little bit of fun, just for a month or so. It's not going to last very long. We all know how this goes. You know the Bears' history. You know what we're going to do with these picks and everything. But just let us have a moment here of enjoyment, because I don't know what happened with that deal, but my God, is that one of the more lopsided trades I've ever seen in my life.
Because what were the Bears going to do with the number one pick anyway, right?
Right, right.
And to get that kind of haul, I was talking to some people this last week and said, had Aaron Rodgers been traded like Russell Wilson was last year, can you imagine the haul we would have gotten for him if this is what the Bears got this year?
Let's rewind a little bit just for a second to a man who is probably going to get a statue outside Hallis Hall, outside of Soldier Field someday, and that is the Black Santa Lovie Smith, and he calls himself that, by the way. Every of his friends call him that as a nickname. I'm just joking, but so the Houston Texans organization hire Lovie Smith, knowing who Lovie Smith is. Anybody who has watched football and watched Lovie Smith the last 20 some years, this is a man that only knows one way of playing football. We play to win the game. We play. That's his style. Does he always put a great team out there? Maybe not. You know, maybe squandered some leads in his career. But boy, Lovie Smith, you know what you get with him. And honestly, one of my favorite coaches that the Bears have ever had. I loved Lovie Smith. I enjoyed him as a coach. I thought it was time for him to go. Maybe a year late, but or a year early. But I did think his time was coming up in Chicago. So Lovie gets a job in Houston, and he's coaching the Houston Texans. And they tell him, going into the final game of the season, we're not going to re-up you. You were a one and done. You were a sitting duck. We want you to lose this game. Basically tell him that. And Lovie Smith, being a sitting duck, what is he going to do? He's going to go out there and try to win this game. This may be the last game as an NFL, his last game as an NFL head coach. There's only 32 jobs. He's on his second one, I believe, or his third in the NFL. So he's probably not going to get another head coaching gig. So what are you going to do? You're going to go out there and win, of course. You're going to try to win. And Chicago loses that game, which gives them the number one overall pick, which gives them a haul from the Carolina Panthers of the number 9 pick, the number 61 pick, so the second round pick from Carolina this year, the first rounder from next year, a second rounder in 2025, and all-pro wide receiver DJ Moore, who is only 25 years old and is on a 3-year contract for one pick. That's it. Like, I reread that trade 3 times expecting to see Chicago. Well, what else did Chicago give? They had to have given at least another draft pick or something like that.
Early April Fools.
Right. Yeah. Because everybody knew Chicago did a pretty good job. I think their new GM did a pretty good job of, kind of holding his cards close to his chest. But in the last couple of weeks, really since the combine opened, you understood Chicago believed in Justin Fields and that they were not going to draft a quarterback.
Right.
So if I'm the other 30 team or the other, teams in that top 5 there, I mean, I'll offer him something, but I'm not going too crazy here because I know that hey, they're gonna grab a defensive lineman or a linebacker or something. I'll just sit back and grab my guy. But Carolina is sitting back at 9, and they don't have that luxury that Houston or Indianapolis has, where they're sitting in the top 5 and just can kind of hope for one of these guys to fall to them. So I always say this, you know, if you see your guy, go get him. But at that cost, where you're giving up that much, I'd almost be like, well, what good is it if we've seen anything, it's no good to have Trevor Lawrence if you don't have the pieces around him. You know, it's no good to have Jalen Hurts or any of these kids if you don't got the pieces around him. So, okay, I guess, but you grab your quarterback. Say you got the number one pick and you grab Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, C.J. Stroud, any of these guys. What are you going to surround them with? Your best receiver you just traded to Chicago. Like they've had holes on that team for a long time. I get what they're doing and I admire it, but if I'm a Carolina fan, if I'm the GM of that team, if I'm the head coach of that team, not only do I have to, I mean, my job not only depends on this kid, whoever this kid is, but we've seen this happen before. This could set my franchise back 10, 15 years. And all I got is one pick out of this. I don't know what Carolina was thinking, but as a Chicago fan, I am extremely thankful to this. We expected a good deal. I didn't expect them to rob the Carolina Panthers. I didn't think that was going to happen. This does a number of things. If you're an NFC North fan, if you're a Chicago Bear fan, if you're a person who, even if you're not a fan of the team, if you're keeping your eye on that team because you're a fan of the opposing teams or whatever, a rivalry team. This shows, and this may be a good thing for Packer fans out there, because however you feel about Justin Fields, this shows that the organization is all in on Justin. This was a question going into the draft. Are they going to go all in on him? Are they going to trade him or anything? They showed this two ways. One, by trading the pick, and by bringing in a wide receiver. They showed, okay, we believe in you, Justin. We're giving you pieces. We're going to try to help you succeed. So that, as a fan, and as a fan of Justin Fields, I'm excited about that. But this also tells the NFC North that we're all in. We're not rebuilding anymore. This it's time that we expect our team to be a playoff team next year. That puts a lot of pressure on that organization to get some stuff done that they have not gotten done in a very, very long time. As a fan base, I am still... I think that they have proven that they can draft well. Last year's draft class was pretty darn good. But they still got a hit on these picks. Because now you just went from grabbing a land at linebacker. I thought that they were going to grab Will Anderson, the linebacker out of Alabama. I thought he was going to... To me, that kid is Brian Urlacher and Lance Biggs put together. That kid is the next thing at linebacker. Now you don't have as sure of a thing. So you really got to hit on that 9 pick. You got to hit on all these picks. Every one of them has to be a hit to me. But at the very least, well, I got DJ Moore. And I saw what DJ Moore did with half-competent quarterbacks. I can't imagine what he'll do with Justin Fields. That seems like a pretty good fit to me. So at least as a Bear fan, I have that to lean on. If I'm a Carolina fan, whew, this is... I don't know how this goes for you. I don't know. And I don't know who they're going to grab because none of these quarterbacks is that surefire of a hit to me. I don't believe in any of these kids that much. It's part of the reason I was afraid the Bears were going to trade Justin Fields and go after C.J. Stroud or one of these kids. Like, I don't know. I mean, theoretically, by the law of averages, one of them is going to work out, but I don't know which one. And I don't feel well enough to trade all this just to try to, you know, to get that one.
You know, I would imagine that the phone call when it happened to the Bears, as they're listening to this offer, they're going, Brian Gutekunst, you silly guy.
Oh, man.
This is hilarious. Ha ha. No. This is really Carolina.
Yeah. No. But, somebody's pranking me.
That was a good one, guys. Good try.
Yeah.
But you know, I was thinking the same thing with quarterbacks. You know, some years it's going to be, this guy is going to be the quarterback, Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah.
This year, they're talking, there could be 3-4 different quarterbacks who might be the number one. So it's not, could you have still gotten the quarterback at number 9? Mm-hmm. Will the Bears maybe even pick another quarterback at number 9? Mm-hmm. Because as we saw with San Francisco, one can never have too many quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
And you might want to develop somebody behind Justin Fields, and Justin Fields runs a lot. So, you know, there's that possibility he gets hurt. So you want to have a decent backup and somebody that you might be able to depend upon in the future. That's one point. The other point is, as you look at 4 draft picks and a wide receiver, for a not surefire thing? Because we have seen a lot of number one quarterbacks not develop and be the person that they thought they would be. So you put those things together, and it's just like a head scratcher, isn't it?
Well, and you get the so now you got what you wanted in Carolina. You got your number one pick. You get to pick whoever you want in the draft. Now you care for what you ask for, because like you've got the closest thing that the experts will tell you to a guarantee is the Bryce Young out of Alabama. And he's 5'10". He's 5'11".
5'11 and a half, maybe, yeah.
Next, you've got C.J. Stroud out of Ohio. And then there's Anthony Richardson, who, like, by all, if you're just watching the combine, if that's all you watch, well, why is this kid not drafted right now? I mean, what are we waiting for? Put him in a Carolina jersey and everything. But then you look at his game is at Florida. He only started 1 year. He, I believe his percentage, completion percentages was over, under 50%. Not a great touchdown to interception ratio. Is he a combine hero?
And didn't have probably the wide receivers that normally a Florida has with the passing offense. Yeah. So now he doesn't have that passing offense with Carolina either. So it's going to be kind of a similar situation.
And you've got a situation now where people are looking at Josh Allen and like, well, wait a minute, we slept on Josh Allen and look at what he turned into and like this kind of thing and the fool's gold kind of stuff. And it all leads to we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing with scouting. We think we do all these experts, all this money, all this time and everything, and we come to the end of it, and it's like, well, I still don't know if it's Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning. I still don't know which one's going to be the better quarterback. I still don't, you know, that kind of, it's just.
Favre falls to the second round.
Right.
Rodgers falls to the 24th pick. I mean, Tom Brady to round, what was it, 7?
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
It's going to be interesting to see how this how the draft goes, and I'm very excited about seeing where it lands. I think that one other aspect of this that's noteworthy is something that you kind of brought up about earlier, about what the Packers could have gotten for Aaron Rodgers last year, especially considering now the most recent news we got over the weekend, Gutekunst came out and said, in a weird way, too, like, he wasn't even about Aaron Rodgers or really about the Packers that he was being interviewed about, and then he just kind of like dropped this big story kind of in the middle of the conversation that basically, what do you got? Just whatever you got, you can have it. Just take Aaron. Just take him off our hands. Like, that's where it's gotten to, where it's pretty much to the point of no return, where, look, we everybody in the world knows we want to trade him. We get that. Just give us something. That's where it's gotten to for a three-time MVP that has brought you a Super Bowl and is arguably the greatest quarterback in your team's history. That this is how and he's still got life in him. He's still going to play. And you're willing to let him go because you're done with the drama, done with all this. That is how bad it has gotten. I don't know how you feel as an organization. I don't know how Packer fans feel about this, but I think that this is an interesting development of the story. As old as this story is to everybody, I know everybody's tired of hearing this. Speak to me when he gets traded. Otherwise, I don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers. Like, I get that. I feel the similar way. But this weekend, something interesting happened to me there, where if you watch Gutekunst, if you hear what he has to say, this man is exhausted. This organization is done. They're so exhausted to the point of, look, second rounder, fine. Just take him. Would you just take him, Jets? We know he's going to the Jets. Just take him. Like, I don't know many times I've seen. I didn't even see this with Favre, where it was kind of like that. And I thought Favre was worse. I thought Favre was 100 times worse about this. Aaron, say what you will about him, and I don't have a whole lot of nice things to say about the way he's handled things off the field and everything. I think that he's been better about it than Favre was, where Favre really literally held the franchise hostage of holding. We know now he's admitted as much. He was never going to retire. He was never even close to that. He was doing these things for other reasons that had nothing to do with bettering the team or bettering the organization. Brett Favre, if you haven't noticed by now, a very selfish human being. We've got some pretty good evidence of that by now. Aaron Rodgers, certainly just as selfish. I'm not saying he's not. But I think that he has at least tried, it seems like, on the surface, to be a bit better about this. And this is where it's gotten to where, you look, we'll take a second rounder for our three-time MVP who's still got some life left in him.
I think that'll be an interesting issue. I read something this morning where they said it's not a done deal now with the Jets.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe it's to the point where, like, the Jets are, maybe they're asking too much also now after seeing what the Bears just got for a number one pick.
Yes.
Maybe that plays into it, right?
Heck yeah, it does.
You know, and then say, okay, the only thing we're in, you know, we don't need a lot of draft picks. We don't need somebody out of the draft, but you need to take $60 million off of our hands. So that might be one of the
sticker
things, right? You also look at, you know, that relationship with Jordan Love, right?
Yes.
It'd be interesting to see. Now, what if it turns out that he comes back, Rodgers, this year and plays for the Packers, and if he struggles again?
Mm.
Boy, I just, in the back of my mind, I just got a feeling there's going to be a lot of boo-birds out there, and they're going to say, you know, we should have moved on 2 years ago, and now we're stuck at 7-9 again this year, or whatever the case might be. And Jordan Love, what will he do, you know, if Rodgers comes back, you know? So there's just a, unless Rodgers comes back and gets us into the playoffs and takes us, you know, to that next level, I think there's going to be a lot of disgruntled Packer fans. That's, you know, nothing scientific there, just my opinion.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I could completely agree with you on that. It's so much drama on it, too, on a position and on a situation that I don't want to say is clear cut, but that you kind of, like, inflicted on yourselves. And it's not necessarily a thing that it's very easy to rip on the organization. Why'd you grab Jordan Love when you got Aaron Rodgers sitting there? Well,
we grabbed Aaron Rodgers and we had Brett Favre sitting there.
Right. I don't know. Take a look at what San Francisco went through this year. Yep. Randy touched on this earlier. I mean, you think San Francisco wouldn't have minded drafting another quarterback?
They ran out after four.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You just never know.
No.
Aaron's stats speak for themselves. For a while there, he was, before this run of the MVPs and stuff, his career looked like it was projecting downward. So what you want to be like Bill Belichick. Everybody wants to be Belichick. They want to get ahead of these things and be so smart at it. Where, how did he know to get rid of that person a year early or any of that? Everybody wants to do that. And that's part of what they're doing as an organization. They're trying to prep and plan. Jordan Love didn't come out of college as a finely tuned craft. So they knew they had work to do there. Let him sit behind and move on. But it's hard to do that when you have holes in your team and you have an offense that has been screaming for playmakers. So I can see both sides of the argument on that one. But if you do that, you make that call, the one thing that is certain is, okay, the clock on Aaron Rodgers is running. That we're giving this a year or two, and then it's gone. No matter what, he wins an MVP, we're on the cusp of Super Bowl, I'm sorry, we've got to move on. This is the deal. Because we know the NFL now. We know it's all about getting that great quarterback on that rookie deal, surrounding him with a bunch of talent, and then, you know, just trying to win as much as we can before we got to pay him $500 million. That window is gone now with Jordan Love. Like, this, say this, Aaron gets traded, you got Jordan Love in there, Jordan comes in, he's an all-pro. Fantastic. I'm really happy for Jordan Love. I actually like Jordan Love as a person, as a player, all that stuff. So I'm even happy about that. But what good does that do you when, now Jordan Love this offseason is going to want a big deal, and he's going to want a real big deal, because that's all the deals are anymore for quarterbacks, is big deals. And then you're in the same spot you're in with Aaron Rodgers, where your whole contract is taken up by one guy. You've got this albatross sitting on your books for the smallest team in professional sports. I mean, you can't do this to your organization. This is malpractice, practically. You've tied the hands of your organization, and you've tied the hands of your own hands. You did this to yourselves. So what are you doing here? Like, make a decision. And now it doesn't even help you any. Like, even in the best case scenario, they trade Aaron, Jordan turns into a great product. That's great. Congratulations. Now you owe him money.
great scenario. They free up all the money from Rodgers, right? They go with Jordan Love. Now, you don't want to say this see it as a Packer fan, but they go 500.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't prove himself to be great, but you're going to stick with him, so you don't have to pay him the big bucks. And then he develops and does. Kind of like Aaron Rodgers, his first year.
Sure.
He was, what, 4-12 that first year?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I just, even if Jordan Love my opinion, does become the quarterback, I don't foresee the Packers, you know, going to the Super Bowl. You know, if they would make the playoffs, I think I'd even be a little surprised. I just see that's difficult with a first-year quarterback, but could be wrong. So as far as money, as far as all of that is concerned, that's almost the best-case scenario.
Yeah.
You go 500, you miss the playoffs, and now you can just, you know, work on his deal and go from there. I don't know.
It's
kind of a sad way to look at it, but
it is. And trust me, I can relate. I can relate to that sad.
But I lived through the 70s and 80s. So.
Yeah, you know better than most.
I know 22 years worth of.
Do you, and I'm asking this question to the audience. I don't want to put you on the spot necessarily, Randy, but to the audience, what do you think is the best case scenario? What do you think? What would you like to see happen, Packer fans out there? Would you, at this point, especially if you're not going to get a lot for him, and the Jordan Love thing is what it is, would you just rather have Aaron back and try to see if he can win this thing and see if he can go out there? I mean, you still. Last year being what it was, I think last year was more an outlier and not the way it's going to go forward. I think Aaron Rodgers has still got some football in him, and if it was my team, I'd almost rather trade Jordan Love than trade Aaron Rodgers and start over and grab a quarterback this year out of this class. Like, I'll tell you this, that Hayden Hooker out of Tennessee, you were talking about the Bears grabbing a quarterback, Randy. That's who, that's in my mock drafts. That's who I have them grabbing in the fourth round, third round, something like that, because he was injured and he fell a little bit and everything. I think that kid could be the real deal. I'd like to see the Packers grab him. I'd like to see something like that and start all over. Just start over and let Aaron do whatever Aaron's going to do and figure this stuff out next offseason. But for now, bring in a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal and see what you got. Because it didn't work out with Jordan Love. I mean, whatever's going to work out with Jordan Love, you're already, you nixed that. You messed that up. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
This is so exhausting. We shouldn't be talking about this Aaron Rodgers stuff at all. That's all you've been hearing this whole offseason. Aaron, what a diva. We should be talking about Brewers baseball, the NCAA tournament, Badger football, Badger bat. But it's just... Every time you turn on a sports talk radio, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I think this time it's being talked about because there was some interesting news that came out over the weekend from the GM. We have Marquette basketball on the docket. We're going to be talking NCAA football. We're going to be talking about some different things here. I was actually just trying to get up to the 10:30 so we could take our break, and it was a time filler, just to let the audience look behind the curtain a little bit here. I didn't think that we were going to get any. Kind of nauseam about this, though. I mean, I get it. I get why people are tired of Aaron Rodgers. I get why people are tired of talking about it. But we're talking about it because it's a big story. It's obviously a big deal. In Wisconsin, I think that it's a different story than it is throughout the rest of the country. And I think that as far as doing a sports talk show in Wisconsin, I think that this call is completely understandable.
Right. And it's, you know, I mean, I get it. I mean, but, you know, he sits there and tells... You know, some of the national media that I'm not a diva. You know, come on.
I love the idea of somebody saying my voice is being quieted when he's on the Pat McAfee show, which is the biggest podcast in the world. I love like this, the lack of understanding in him is kind of quite bonkers, actually.
Right, and it's just like I said, it gets exhausting after a while, but you know, and. I guess one of the things that that I've been kind of pushing for a little bit more is off the Packer talk and off the Rodgers talk is, you know, let's get on the bandwagon, maybe making a change at Wisconsin. I mean, they made one change last week. I think you need to make another one.
Oh, Badger basketball?
You know? Yeah.
I mean,
they made the change with letting Granato go. At hockey, I mean, I think it was, you know, he was a great, great player and a great person, but it was a little too late. You know, they should have let him go a long time ago, but yeah. I think it's time to say, let's part ways with Greg Gard. I mean, McIntosh has shown a lot of guts this last year and making changes.
We, We have that lined up in our conversation. After Randy's done giving us our updates on local coverage and everything, I wanted to get into this. And thank you for that, actually. You're teeing us up perfectly, man. Because especially with what you said about the new AD and the new GM, if you will, for Wisconsin. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I always appreciate the conversation with you, sir.
All right, guys. You guys have a great week.
You too. We got to get to a commercial break here. We'll come back. Randy's got some local coverage for us. We'll talk some River Kings, Marquette, and basketball, Wisconsin, all that coming up for you on Playmakers. Brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, everyone. Playmakers being brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. A big thank you to them. Randy Paul joining me here, my partner in sports, and Randy has some local coverage for us. What do you got there, Randy?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We're starting to run out of the winter sports season, and soon spring will be upon us. Talking to a few people, and they mentioned the fact that kids for baseball and softball are going to start getting together soon here and throwing around a little bit, and next thing you know, we'll be doing some local high school sports on that as well. But for now, we've got girls' high school basketball taking place, and this past weekend, the girls' state basketball tournament was held over at the Rush Center in Green Bay, and on Saturday, the championship games took place. First in Division 5, McDonald Catholic, who lost to Assumption in the semifinals last year, 36-35, captured the crown with a 61-46 beating of Blair Taylor. In Division 4, last year's runner-up Laconia upset top seed and the number one ranked Aquinas Blue Golds, 64-51. Division 3 saw Kewaskum hit 8 out of 11 free throws down the stretch to upset 7th-ranked Milwaukee School of Science, 55-51. In Division 2, number 1 versus number 2, as Green Bay Notre Dame finishes a perfect 29-0 as they pounded Pewaukee, 64-49. And in Division 1, Wiss Sports had Kettle Moraine ranked number 1 in state, and they were right as they beat Brookfield East, 47-40. Also, this past Thursday through Saturday, the boys' sectionals took place. Taking a look at some of the results, first in Division 1, right here in Wisconsin Rapids, Nina was superior to superior.
That was well done. Nicely done.
93-65, while DePere mauled Marquette, 57-29. In Division 2, third-seeded La Crosse Central upset top-seeded Medford, 57-41 on Thursday. Then on Saturday over in Marshfield, they nipped New London, 48-44. D3, West Salem continues to roll, 68-46 over Osceola, as does my hometown of Brilliant, 77-73 over Xavier. A lot of people think those teams will meet for the state championship this weekend on Saturday. Division 4 saw Armordale upend Marathon. They had lost to them twice earlier this year. They got a bit of revenge there, 55-47, but then they fell short of state on Saturday as they lost to St. Mary Catholic, 75-70. And in Division 5, Newman Catholic pounded Pacelli, 79-58 on Thursday, and they're now off to Madison as they got by Gibraltar, which is by Sturgeon Bay, 66-54. And I think if I saw this correctly, Newman is making their first trip to state for the boys, but I just don't want to be.
Congrats to them.
Yeah. And of course, the River Kings, they took on the Hudson Havoc this weekend in the second round of the playoffs. Lost 3-2 on Friday, down 1-0 after the first. They were trailed at 3-0 after two periods and then got a couple of goals, but just couldn't quite get over the hump. And then on Saturday, lost 6-1. They were down 2-0 in the first, 4-0 after two. They outscored the Kings by the Kings 2-1 in that final period. So they come up a little bit short. But how about college? You know, we're talking about college basketball. How about those Golden Eagles of Marquette?
Yeah.
Boy, a couple of close ones for them. Thursday, in overtime, a two-point game again against St. John's. Ooh. Tyler Kolick with 19 points. Friday, a two-point win over UConn. Kolick with 17 points. And they had split with UConn. As a matter of fact, I think I heard that UConn was the only team that had beaten Marquette this year by double digits. Marquette 28-6 on the year. And then on Saturday, no trouble with Xavier, 65-51. Kolick, 20 points, and the MVP of the tournament. So they're now at number 2 seed. They take on the Catamounts of Vermont on Friday, 145, and I'm sure we will have that on our sister station a little bit earlier than that. We'll get those details to you when they become available. Badgers course, they didn't make the NCAA tournament, but they're a number two seed in the NIT tournament, and they'll be taking on Bradley. Bradley lost to Drake in their tournament, 77-51. They took first place in the Missouri Valley. They're 25-9, and that game's tomorrow night at 8:30 at the Kohl Center. So, should be an interesting week because, you know, this is a fun week also because the NCAA tournament starts, the NIT tournament starts. We've got the boys' state basketball tournament this next weekend down in Madison. So, yikes. It's just a fun time of year. And like I said earlier, winter sports wrapping up. And next thing you know, we'll be talking even more baseball.
Thank you so much, as always, for the incredible reporting, Randy. Nice work by you. I wanted to also thank you for the great high school coverage all season long, the high school basketball coverage you did. And fantastic work, as always. You're my favorite announcer in the state for a reason, because you're darn good at it. And we appreciate the work that you do, sir. And thanks for all that conversation there, too. So I want to start River Kings. I want to wrap up with Marquette and Wisconsin talk. First off, thank you to Coach Peckman and that whole entire staff, that all those players for a great season of River Kings hockey. This was supposed to be a rebuilding year for us. This was supposed to be a year that a new coach and GM comes in and we, you know, learn to get pipelines and all these things. Not with Coach Peckman, man. Not with him. That guy comes in, and what I was talking about with Lovie Smith earlier is another guy. All he knows how to do is give everything he's got to this organization. I cannot thank him enough for the time coming in studio and hanging out with Randy and I, and meeting his wonderful wife last week was really nice and everything. This is just a sign of things to come. If you've gotten to talk to these people and talk to the organization itself, they want expect to win. They want to win. And going forward, we're a playoff team. Like every year going, this was the year we were supposed to rebuild, and we are already in the won a first round series. So going forward, the bar has been set, and we're pretty happy about that. That's pretty exciting. Thank you for a great season, River Kings.
You know, a couple of things that you and I have talked about off the air as well, as we always enjoyed having him come in, that he would take the time to drive over here, spend time on the air with us on a pretty regular basis. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is that he stuck to what he told us, like the very first interview, right?
Yes.
He said, you know, winning is great. It's important. We want to do that. We want to develop that here. But more importantly, we want to develop young men into good citizens.
Yeah.
Right? And then he would come in and he'd talk about the different things they were doing within the community. Mm-hmm. Right? And you could just see that fan base, you know, was just growing and believing in that. And they'd fill the bleachers. And he just stuck to his word. And that was a top priority with him. And that never went away.
No. Well said. And a big thank you to him and the organization. Looking forward to next season and helping the River Kings build hockey up and down the river. Be sure to bookmark and for next season was River Kings Hockey. RiverKingsHockey.com. It was really fun having them on WIRI also. That was great.
Right.
We go from losing a playoff series to winning a kind of a playoff series in Marquette, winning the Big East outright. Congratulations to that team, to the staff, and Coach Smart. Keep in mind, Shaka Smart just got here. Like, he just got here. Like, it's been a year that he's been. And, you know, I will say that he had a kind of a built-in pipeline, not just with Marquette, but being a Wisconsinite himself, being from the Madison area, that kind of stuff and everything. So that helps. But that don't help you win games. That might help you bring some kids in. Don't help you win games. Just my favorite coach in sports, so I'll admit that right out the gate. But I like him for a reason, because this is a guy, just like we were talking about with Coach Peckman, what he said in that opening conference when he got the Marquette job, he's given you that. He's shown you that. He's shown you exactly he is what he's made, what he said he was. He treats these kids like they're kids of his own, and I love the way that he is. He coaches a game. I think Marquette's going to surprise somebody. I know they're a number two seed, so it's hard for them to upset somebody necessarily. So I don't know about that. But I think that the rest of the world, the rest of the nation that hasn't been paying as close attention to college sports, that may have been surprised this weekend when Marquette won the Big East, I think they're going to be surprised, because this is a team that can win.
I know you were really excited when they signed Shaka Smart. Yeah. And it was so much fun. I believe it was the UConn game after they won and hung on to win by two. And he's just jumping around and pumping. pumping his fist. It's like to see that kind of excitement was really awesome because he was happy for the kids, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Right?
It's about, you can see that his joy comes from that. Mm-hmm. Like they try to talk to him about himself and his coaching and all. And he's like, nah, and he just focuses on the kids. He always pushes it on the kids, and I love it.
And that Tyler Kolek, my goodness, watching some of those highlights or him floating down the lane with that one-hander with the left hand, he has really had a nice tournament, that's for sure, and a nice year.
One of the things that I heard going on behind the scenes that was part of the issue why you saw an uptick for Marquette but a decline in Wisconsin was that local recruiting and how those two have always kind of butted heads recruiting basketball players. And for the good, I'd say a good 30-some years or whatever, it really hasn't been a contest. Wisconsin has pretty much gotten who they wanted. And every once in a while, Marquette will bring in a Dwayne Wade or a Jay Crowder or somebody like that. But for the most part, Wisconsin has pretty much gotten what they want when it comes to 4 or 5 stars, especially if they are Wisconsin in-state talent. They'll either go here or to Duke or, you know, Kentucky or something like that. With this change, you've seen this happen now where the recruits are starting to go to Marquette. And not just that, but maybe even more importantly, the Chicago recruit is going to Marquette now over Wisconsin, over Illinois, over Northwestern and those things. And so all these other teams have noticed this. And while they're still kind of figuring things out and stuff at some of the universities in Illinois, Wisconsin has their AD in place. And this man gets things done. nobody in the free world had Luke Fickell signing with Wisconsin after Cincinnati. Nobody. Anybody that tells you that is lying to you. I don't care if it's Luke Fickell himself, he's lying to you. Nobody had that happening. It happened for a lot of reasons. I still call him coach, even though he hasn't coached in 20-some years, but Alvarez was part of the reason, I think. He's still walking those halls and everything, and that matters a lot. He's got a lot of clout in the NCAA world, if you will. But McIntosh has shown you right out the gate, I'm not only going to get things done, I'm the biggest Wisconsin fan there is. I love this university. This is my home team. This is my state. I'm going to show you how big of a Wisconsin fan I am. I'm going to bring in the biggest fish that Wisconsin's ever brought in. Bigger than any recruit possibly that we've ever brought in. I'm not sure. That waits to be seen. But I know it happened months ago, and I'm still blown away by the Luke Fickell hiring. So to what the caller was talking about earlier, him and I were thinking the same thing this weekend, I think, as we saw Wisconsin hockey not do well, Wisconsin men's basketball not do well. What you gonna do? Because he's a GM now. We call these athletic directors. They're GMs, and so either whatever initial you want to give him, AD, GM, whatever. What's he gonna do now with these other two openings? For those that did not hear, Wisconsin did fire Coach Granato from the hockey team. I'm a fan of Granato's. I liked him as a player. I liked him as a person and everything. I hate to see it happen, but it needed to happen. 5 losing seasons in 7. You can't have that, especially. We're talking Wisconsin hockey. Wisconsin hockey still has a standard. It's still up there in the upper echelons of great programs. So you got to get that right. And then you got the Wisconsin men's basketball program, which men's basketball, there are no more blue bloods anymore. Like, it used to be Duke, North Carolina, et cetera, et cetera. Those teams obviously still exist, but that the shine has worn off of those. It doesn't mean anymore what it meant to go to Kentucky or to go to Duke. I can get recruited by the NBA going anywhere. I can go to the G League. Or, my games won't be on TV. Well, everybody's on TV now. Everybody's got a network now. So it doesn't mean half of what it meant to. It used to be, well, I'll go coach for Coach. I'll go play for Coach K. He coached Jordan. He coached this guy. Well, he's gone too now. So none of those things mean what they used to. So if I'm sitting there and I'm one of these teams like Wisconsin or, you know, another team that's kind of middle of the pack, I'm going after big fish. I'm going big game hunting, and I'm grabbing me a coach. I'm even going to try to see if I can get Chaka Smart. I'm not even exaggerating. He's in state. Why not? You know, I mean, if I'm the GM of Wisconsin, my job is to believe that my job is better than the Marquette job. So why not go after Chaka Smart? Why not go after any coach you want to go after? Go after Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino is sitting there at Iona at 70 years old. He's probably going to, looks like he's going to sign with St. John's. But I mean, he's just sitting there. Grab yourself a coach, because it's the Wild West in the NCAA, you know, with NIL licensing, with all these things. Might as well.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do. You know, what were the Badgers? Something like 14-2, and then Tyler Wahl went down.
Yeah.
And that really hurt them. They just never really rebounded from that. But again, just to show you how tough the conference was, you know, they lost to Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament. And then what does Ohio State do? They go on and they get to the semifinals, right? And then you look at Penn State, 10th in the Big Ten. They play in the championship game.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a tough conference? My goodness, top to bottom, that you take out Minnesota, who played the Badgers stuff. It's just a tough league to participate in. In my opinion, I would give Coach Gard one more year. You know, because look, they lost a ton of close games. They got some recruits coming in. They've always done well. You were talking about recruiting before. They've always done well in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Sounds like they got a couple of big guys, you know, the Frank Kaminsky type guys, you know, that they always seem to pull out, those 6'10 guys who are able to shoot from the outside as well. I think they've got a recruit or two from there coming in. So, let's see what happens in a year. Maybe they've got a healthy year and what they can do with that, and then go on from there. So I guess that would be my opinion with the Badgers.
I don't hate that idea at all. I don't hate that at all. I don't think that's a bad idea. I will say this. If there's somebody out there that you know you can get, and you think that that's the game, that's the difference, then I take it back and I say, go ahead and get that guy, whoever that guy is. But if you don't, especially if there's nobody who's singing to you, and you don't even know if you can get that guy, why not? I mean, consistency is better than change just for change.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I don't think you should just change just for the sake of changing. You better upgrade. And even in this, like you just said, in this world of college basketball, the seeding has now come out. The brackets are out. What seed is going to win the NCAA tournament? Is it going to be a number one seed? Of course it could be. Mm. Could it be like a 4 seed this year, mm-hmm. or higher? Mm. Absolutely. I mean, I think we are going to see maybe more upsets, probably be proven wrong this weekend, but I think we'll see more upsets this year than we've seen in a long time.
It's just
so much parity, right?
Between the two of us, I would imagine you collectively, if we've been watching college basketball for 30, 40 some years, whatever it is.
Okay,
and
that's
stuff.
Just me alone.
I was trying to find a smooth way.
You can go 60.
I've never seen a season like this last season. I've never seen anything like it. I think that you've probably heard talking heads say that kind of thing, so it gets a little bit like, well, they say that every year. No, I've never seen anything like this, where it was hot potato with the number one seed, like, no, you take it. I don't want it.
And you watch the highlights from some of these conference games, the way that these guys can shoot, the way that they can play defense, they can run. It's like amazing talent that has developed in the last several years.
We're going to fill out some brackets in the next couple of days and have some fun with that, and do the what we've done for years here at the station, where we have that bragging rights and everything. Seth won last year. So that's going to be fun. We'll enjoy doing that. I have no idea what to do. I'm going to put that off as long as I can. I might as well just throw. I follow college basketball. I love college basketball. I might as well just throw a dart at it and just see. Okay, looks like Iona's going to win the whole championship, I guess. I don't know.
Normally you pick the higher seed over the lower seed if you're not sure. I think this year we're going to go in reverse.
Yeah, you might be better off. You might be better. Every year you'll read an article of somebody who picked their bracket just by like mascots and ended up winning, their company's March Madness or something like that. Like, this is the year for that. This is the year where that might not be a bad idea.
did Gonzaga get like a number 3 seed? That one really kind of shocked me. And I know that they haven't had the season that they've had in the past, but I guess I just was really surprised. I was going to look through that and see if I could find that again.
You're right about that.
They're a 3 seed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take on Grand Canyon from Arizona. They're out of Flagstaff, if I remember. Oh. Wait, no. No, I'm thinking Northern Arizona. Grand Canyon is out of Phoenix.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. Yeah. I'm so glad this came up. This is one of my favorite things about college sports, about college basketball in particular, is when you get those teams or Maryland, number 8 seed Maryland, taking on A&M Corpus Christi, Southeast Missouri State, whatever, whoever wins that game, but A&M Corpus Christi or Southeast Missouri State. Like I like those two playing. This is how you find out about universities you had no idea even existed.
Well, when it was Texas A&M on the bracket says Texas A&M CC. I'm like, what's a cross country team doing? I know.
Yeah.
They run well, but that's ridiculous.
I didn't know that.
I guess anybody can make the team.
It was college basketball that how I found out that there was a university called Creighton. I didn't even know that. I mean, it was a kid when I found that out. Colgate. I didn't know that was a university.
I think there's Kennesaw's in there.
I was just going to say, like, Kennesaw
State.
That was
one that really kind of grabbed me. Yeah.
I haven't heard of that before. Yeah, I haven't heard of that one. That's a different one to me. Kennesaw State taking on Xavier.
As a matter of fact, they beat Liberty, who could be the Badgers' next team that they would play in the NIT,
right.
Or Villanova. You kind of expect Villanova to win that, but Villanova's only 17-16 this year. Now you look at that. There's another one, right?
Yes.
Villanova's always in the top five, right?
Yes.
And all of a sudden they're 17-16. So fickle. Speaking of Luke,
I'm curious to see. Of course, none of us know how it's going to go, so we're all curious about the NCAA tournament. That's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be talking a lot of March Madness as we go forward. So as the tournament develops, we'll get into it a little bit more. But I'm looking forward to talking more about it, more in college basketball, and seeing how this all develops.
And of course, Pam has just come up with the latest for us as far as when these things will be aired. So tomorrow, probably about 7:30, the Badgers hosting Bradley in the NIT tournament at the Kohl Center. Friday, 1:15 on our sister station, WIRI, Marquette Men's Basketball, taking on the Catamounts of Vermont. What a great moniker, huh?
It's a great moniker. Catamounts. But it's also just, I love the announcer in you. You can't, it's just so, you pop right at the right time. You know, the right things to pop on. It's so good, man. Let's talk a little baseball. Let's get into a little baseball talk. We got about 8 minutes left here, show. 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation, everybody. You want something? You want to talk about something? Call up and let us know. When it comes to baseball, of course, opening day is March 30th, right around the corner. I've got something next week, next Monday, I want to get into. I've got some stats about opening day. The pitchers who have the most starts and those kind of things. I've got a bunch of stuff on that, so we'll get into it next Monday on the show. I'm looking forward to it. But for now, as we get ready to start the MLB season, I'm going to ask this question a number of times, probably until a week into the season. What are you guys watching for? What are you guys out there, you listeners, the best listeners in radio? Where is your eye going to be? Yes, I know you're going to be paying attention to Milwaukee Brewers. Of course, that's understandable. Outside of your local team, what are you looking for? Is it looking at, hey, how does San Diego make it work with 19 shortstops on their team? Is everybody just going to play shortstop? Is everybody going to be on one side? I mean, how are they going to work this? The rule changes, is that what's going to be bringing you in? And looking at these new bases, seeing how much this is going to affect starting pitchers or batters. I think it's going to affect batters more than pitchers, honestly. All these factors. I'm so excited about this season. I can't be the only one. I've got to think that other people are curious, or maybe it's not excitement. Maybe it's curiosity. Maybe it's fear. Maybe you're worried about the game changing too much or something. I'm curious to know how people think, because it's been a long time since we walked into an MLB season with this much change.
I have not found out, and I haven't really tried to look. I don't know if you know. They're going to make the bases an inch bigger for safety.
Yes, yeah.
Does that mean it's being an inch closer to home plate, or will it still be 90 feet, and that'll be an inch farther out in the outfield? But it'll still have to be an inch closer to second base, so something's got to be smaller, right?
I looked into this, and I did not see any answer. Clear answer.
Because if it's an inch closer to home plate, I think that's going to be really interesting.
Yes.
Because you think about the number of bang-bang plays at first base, and they show it in slow motion, and that cleat is just off the base. You know, I've heard that so many times that somebody said, whoever came up with 90 feet was a genius.
Yes.
Because of the closeness of each plate. Now, 89 feet and 11 inches. If that's the case, will there be more people safe at first base? I don't know.
Great question.
I'd love to find that out.
That's a great question.
Somebody out there knows. Let us know.
Yes. I think we've seen. Now, there's some people that are really, really that know what they're talking about. I think Tim Kirkchen is the smartest mind I've ever heard when talking about baseball. And he's mentioned a couple of times that he doesn't think that we'll see a huge increase in stolen bases this year, but going forward, we might. And that's something that really interests me. I'm very curious about that.
And I think they can throw it over to first base twice, and the third time, if they, what happens? It's like a balk. They get second base if they don't pick them off or something.
Yeah,
that's got to be a unique rule. I think one of the things that the batters and pitchers will adjust to is the clock. that they'll stay in there a little bit more. You know, they'll get used to getting in there a little bit quicker, being ready. The pitchers will be, you know, be ready to pitch faster. So I think they'll adjust to that one pretty easily. After a while, it'll just be a no-brainer for them, which I think is going to help the game. You know, instead of seeing a guy go out and readjust his batting gloves and his helmet and that routine, they'll get a different routine. It'll speed it up a little bit. And I think that's going to be good for the game, you know, just because there were so many times last year I said, I'm going to count between pitches by the time the catcher throws the ball back. And there were so many times I was up to 30 seconds. Mm. I said, we're getting two pitches, it takes over a minute to get two pitches. This is why the games last forever. So now that's, I think that's just a good thing, and that'll make an easy adjustment too.
I like the idea of these pitchers kind of control, being the director of the at bat, if you will, and kind of deciding this is when we're going to get going, this kind of thing. And I can't speak for other people, but I can't be the only one again. I'm so sick and tired of these batters taking 20 minutes to get ready. Mm-hmm. Like, you've been playing this game since you were a kid. Get in the box.
Right.
Get in the box. Get the job done.
Like, well, it trickles down, right, to college, to high school. Yes. You see the kids adjusting their gloves, and they step out, and they're looking, you know.
Yeah, I don't care about celebrating. Like, I don't care. Celebrate all you want. Right. I don't. That part doesn't
it's
bother me.
Gotta have
me.
Some fun, right?
Yeah. Yes. I think you want it. You want people to watch the game. That's part of what brings people to the game. Is the bat flip and all of this. Like, I don't care about that part of it. It doesn't bother me. If you're a starting pitcher and you don't like a guy bat flipping, strike him out the next time up. That's the job. If you don't like it, then go find something else to do. But to me, I'm very curious about that part. These batters, not with all their traditions and all these things. We are talking about the most superstitious group of people ever in baseball players. So I'm very curious about that part, how that's going
to
go.
Wade Boggs is still eating chicken.
Definitely. Another big question as far as going local here with the Milwaukee Brewers is contract extension talk, and to see if Woodruff, if Burns, Willy Adames, are they going to give those guys extensions, how they're going to go going forward with this. You don't really have to rebuild anymore. Like, you can reload, you know? And Milwaukee's been doing this for a while here. You want to hit on having great starting pitching like they do, but you're also one of the smallest market teams. And I think that, you know, that's understandable that they're doing what they can with that team. I'm not sure what you... I think there's some fear after Yelich contract of giving anybody a good deal. Like, no matter how of a locked in, you know, how of a guarantee you might think it be.
So and after the Aaron Rodgers deal, I mean, it trickles down in cross sports, right?
Right, you're right. Yeah. I'm curious to see how if that's going to happen, if they're going to give somebody a deal there. The bad feelings, how that went with
Burns.
That part bothers me a little,
that
too.
That wasn't a huge amount of money. That was under $1 million.
I would have just given them the deal, you know. But I understand, too, that there's stuff going on behind the scenes that I don't even know about, you know, as far as making every dollar count when you're a small market baseball team.
I
especially think this is big because if Milwaukee's not winning come the trade deadline, you know, these are names that are probably going to go, and that's hard on a fan base. So here's hoping that we've got a winning team, and you don't even you see the Brewers come the trade deadline, you see them buyers, not sellers.
Yeah, because I think last year we were one game out of making the playoffs, right? So is that, you know, I think a lot of people in Wisconsin are very, you know, concerned about that happening, and they brought in a couple of free agents. Will they make a difference? They got hit better than they did last year, bottom line. They pitched well. The hitting just let them down.
Well, somebody tell – he should know this already, but since he doesn't seem to pay attention to much outside of himself, somebody should tell Aaron Rodgers that the Brewers are right around the corner. And as soon as Brewer talk starts happening, he's a second story.
Let us know soon, right?
He better let him know soon. Otherwise, he's going to be on the third page of the newspaper and everything like that. Brewer talk is coming, everybody. Like, you get it. You know better than I do. Randy, thank you so much for the great coverage and hanging out with us. As always, look forward to hanging out with you again real soon.
Always fun to be here.
Thank you to the best listeners in radio. We appreciate your calls today, you joining us on the show. As Randy mentioned earlier, probably around 7:30 tomorrow, Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Bradley as part of the NIT tournament. We'll have that right here for you, and more coverage of sports coming up with Marquette and plenty more. We'll join you next Monday for more Playmakers, which is brought to you by our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.